It's a real delight to have everyone present this morning, and especially our family is happy because we have Yerby Shannon, who is our great grandson, with us on the second row, and you may hear him from time to time during the service. Being held by his grandmother, our daughter Carla, and sitting is his father, Milby Shannon, and Chelsea, the beautiful mother of our great-grandson. Yerby inherited his father's red hair and his great-grandmother's blue eyes, so we're glad to have her, have him with us today. And we have among our visitors, Furman Carpenter and his wife, Jean. Furman and I go back a long way. He's been a preacher for the Church of Christ for many years. He tells me he's retired now. He's been at Round Rock, and he retired as minister, and they made him an elder. So I don't think his duties are going to be cut back that much. They've been on a cruise with some friends from Round Rock. We're glad to have them with us, too. The last time Furman was with us, we were meeting on 35th Street after the Hurricane Ike, and so it's been a while. We're glad to have Furman with us. He and Joe Barnett worked together for a time, and Furman, this church has a close connection with Joe Barnett, and I will write him a note today and tell him that I saw you and that you're looking fine, you're retired. And your wife is dreading that, but you're going to make the best of it. Every month carries emotions in each of our lives. At least they do in mine, and I suppose they do in yours. September, when that month comes around, I have a variety of emotions. There have been some wonderful things that happened in September, and among those, my sister, older sister, was born, with whom I was so close, and my mother was born. So by and large, September has been a time, a month that I have enjoyed most of my life. This week, though, I was thinking about another period of my life in September in which I did not experience joy, but I was very much apprehensive, and so those memories came back. In September of 1973, I had finished law school, I had passed the bar exam, and I went to Austin and was sworn in as a lawyer, and they gave me a ticket to practice law. And I had no idea in the world how to practice law or where I would get a job. That's a terrible thing when you're the father of two children and a wife, and you think, what am I going to do for a living now? I've climbed this hill, but what does it mean to me? And I had a lot of trepidation about that period of time. I had preached as a full-time minister for about 18 years. That I knew. I had no idea how to go about being a lawyer. No one in my family had ever been a lawyer that I know of. And so I didn't have any guidance there. One of the things I decided that I was going to be determined to be successful at it, at whatever it took. And I received as a gift on graduating from law school a framed section of Theodore Roosevelt's speech on the arena. You may recall, he talks about it's not the critic who counts, but it is the person in the arena who takes the blows and bruises of life that really makes the difference. I had that to hang in my office. And then I came across a placard that had been made by some artist, and it impressed me so much that I bought it, and I thought, I'm going to look at this and have this to keep me on track as to what to do with my life. It is a statement by Calvin Coolidge. I'm surprised, because Calvin Coolidge was a man who didn't speak often. In fact, they called him Silent Cal as he was president, a little bit different than what we have today. Calvin Coolidge, though, made this statement. I purchased it, hung it in my office, and it helped me in that time of life in which I felt very adrift and very lost. He said, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. And so that encouraged me to think in terms of persistence and perseverance. And then I thought, that really is the admonition that we have in Scripture for our own spiritual lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want to talk about this running with perseverance, the race that is marked out for us. If you have an older translation, such as the King James Version, you would find the word patience there rather than perseverance. I think that more recent translations use the word perseverance, but the older ones use patience. The same word in Greek is translated patience in some passages and persistence in others. Perseverance and patience are very much related. And there are technical definitions that I could share with you, but let me tell you how I have come to think of them. Patience, I think, refers more to one's state of mind. And perseverance refers more to what one's activity might be. When we are patient with another person, that means that our mind is working to keep us maybe in check from doing or saying something that we otherwise would say. Perseverance conjures the attitude of keeping on in whatever activity that we are engaged in, such as running the race. You run the race with perseverance because the goal, of course, is to finish that race. There is a certain degree of kindness inherent in the idea of patience that maybe is not found in the idea of perseverance. If I am patient with someone, I'm kind to that person. Now, it doesn't mean that I agree with them or that I support in something that they might be doing that's wrong, but if I have patience, I have at least a kindly attitude in which will direct my thoughts. The lack of perseverance is the biggest reason for failure in life. Think about the New Year's resolutions that we make, how quickly they are gone. We can't persevere in those at all. And the reason for the failure to keep the resolution is simply the lack of perseverance. When I was a boy, my father moved to Elk City, Oklahoma to preach. And when I was in the fifth grade to the ninth grade, we lived there. And it was an exciting time, even through the eyes of a boy that age. Oil was struck, and Shell Oil Company suddenly filled our roads and the fields, and there were derricks, and there were gushers, and there were blowouts, and everybody was buying and leasing mineral rights. And then after a period of time, that field dried up. The wells were blocked. People gave up. They closed and quit drilling. Many years later, they discovered what is called the Anadarko Basin. And that means that deeper than they had gone down before was a river of oil in that same area. And Elk City had a revival of that oil boom. I think sometimes of the men who plugged wells just a few feet from getting down to where the Anadarko Basin was. You know, they thought they had hit a dry hole and closed up and lost their investment. If they had just continued a few more feet, they would have discovered all the oil that they could possibly produce. That's the way it is with many of our lives. We look at our lives and we think, you know, the failure that happened to me in my life is really due to the fact that I gave up. If I would have just tried a little longer and a little harder. I'm convinced that the biggest reason for most of our failures is this lack of character, of perseverance. And it is also then the biggest reason for success. The only reason why we can succeed is if we persevere. This is true spiritually. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Perseverance is hard to keep, and it's hard to maintain. Obviously, troubles that come to people will discourage them in their faith, and they will give up their faith sometimes because of the troubles that they experience. That is the strange thing, though, about the problems of life. We see that they are a danger to the virtue of perseverance. And yet the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4 that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Suffering then can be something that will, in one person, destroy that person's perseverance, but it may be the same experience will increase another Christian's perseverance. When I think of the things that will kill perseverance, I think of the troubles that a person might go through. Strangely, though, what kills perseverance is the very opposite of this many times. And that is, perseverance is destroyed by success and by prosperity. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, Moses speaks to the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not produce, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In another place, he encourages them along the same line by saying, be careful that you do not think that you yourself have produced these things that the Lord has given to you. The cares of this world, and even the good things of this world, can be dangerous to us because they may make us self-satisfied and will kill our perseverance, our determination to be dedicated. I try to contact several families in this community, families who belong to the Churches of Christ somewhere else and have moved into our city. They're very difficult to interest in the affairs of the church. And that is a very disappointing and discouraging aspect of what I do during the week. I was thinking today, this morning, when I got up, remembering my own baptism, and I was thinking, and maybe you will agree, I hope so, that when every person who is a believer is baptized, that moment that they are baptized into Christ, that they are determined to be and to remain a faithful Christian. And when they are added to the Lord's church, they are determined always to be part of that great body of people. No one comes to be baptized to say, you know, I'll try it for a week or two or a year or so, and if it doesn't work for me, I'll give it up. Everybody comes with that same determination to persevere. And yet along the way, circumstances arise that destroys their zeal and causes them to give up. I think that is so sad. And if we could just somehow cause people to remember again that moment when they made their commitment and when they made their confession of faith in Jesus and were baptized, if we could just remind them of this and still in them again the memory of that occasion, maybe they would come back to activity and to full fellowship with the Lord's people. I think about that. Obviously, you are persevering or you wouldn't be here this morning, so I'm preaching to the choir. There's no question about that. But there's always a danger to even the most faithful and strongest Christian that something will come up in life, either something very negative that imposes suffering or something very good that makes us self-satisfied that will in some way diminish our dedication to Christ. And that's what I want to warn us about. May we all, when we come to the last few days of our lives, be able to say with the Apostle Paul, the time of my departure, or the word is exodus really there, the time of my exodus is at hand. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And that's my prayer and my hope more than anything else, and I commend it to you as well. I have finished the race. Interesting that the writer of Hebrews 12 said, the race that is marked out for us. We all have maybe a different race that we're running, but it's marked out for us. and whatever it is personally, it is our determination to finish that race successfully. That's our prayer. This morning we're going to sing a song that will be an opportunity for anyone who might be present this morning to confess their faith in Christ and to be baptized. I don't think there's a more solemn thing that one can experience than that of Christian baptism and the event that goes with it. Or there may be some who would like to dedicate themselves to the Lord again who have been baptized and would like to have prayer. While we stand to sing, we invite you to come to the front.